kind of awkward.
It is. Could you just look away? Don't you know the rule? Do not make eye contact with me.
I'm kind of sweating. I'm kind of nervous.
All right. Let's do it anyway. Hello and welcome to the Two Hosers Photo Show. This is episode 37. My name is Alan, and as not usual, is that even a word?
Yeah, as unusual.
As unusual, as disusual, I'm sitting here in Vancouver, Canada, and next to me, actually live in person, is
Adam.
So here, we're sitting in your house.
Yeah, we're in my downstairs living room area.
Yeah, let me paint you a word picture. It's downstairs.
Yeah.
It's a living room area.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is where many of my pictures are taken that we've seen on the Two Hosers website, the window light pictures.
I'm actually, I have goosebumps because I am staring at the window light location.
Yeah. It's pretty eerie.
Except it's dark right now. And once again, I'm happy that it's not 6 a.m.
No, it is 8:30 in the p.m.
Is it that late?
Something like that. Yeah, 8:26.
We better get this rolling. So, where do we start?
I think
you're throwing me off looking at you.
Sorry, I'll look away. Maybe we start with you've been in Vancouver for almost a week now, and your visit's almost up. So maybe you could lay down some of the highlights of what you've been doing here since we spoke last.
Well, work. It's been a lot of work.
Yeah.
But I knew that going in. I knew it was going to be nonstop. I'd hit the ground running. But whenever I could find a couple minutes free time, I'd go have fun. So you and I, and a bunch of other friends and their families were at Spanish Banks for a barbecue last week.
That's right. I think we might have mentioned that on the last podcast.
Did we mention that?
Yeah, why don't you just rehash that entirely?
Let's go over that whole podcast.
Be like Munich, but only in Vancouver. What else have you done?
What else did we do? Well, I went to Spanish Banks again last night.
Okay.
For a barbecue.
Yeah.
With my dad and my sister, and bumped into a guy. I forget his name. I don't know if I even asked his name. I meant to, and I'm sorry for not asking your name, guy who's not listening. But he was taking large format photos.
You have to fill me in. I don't know what that is.
I'm not sure the exact size, but it's like an 8x10 negative. It's huge.
What kind of camera do you feed that into?
It's like a big, like a real deal. Like you've seen the old ones with the bellows on the front.
Yeah.
That's what you do. So, yeah, he was down there taking pictures. We've had amazing weather, and he was down taking pictures of the sunset.
And where do you get that developed?
I'm assuming he does it himself.
Okay. Future shop?
Yeah, you get it done at Costco, I think.
Walmart?
You just get a... Yeah, you pop into the Walgreens. I'm trying to make it local for every place I know. Yeah, you head into... not Topshop. Is it Topshop in London?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I know they do some stuff.
Can you get those negatives printed on a mug or a rug
or
a poncho?
Mouse pad.
Yeah.
That smells like burning tires always. Yeah. Have you ever seen those?
Yeah.
Oh, they're terrible.
Maybe get a puzzle made.
Puzzle. I actually like the puzzles.
The puzzle's okay.
That's pretty cool. If you were, when you were a kid, if you had a puzzle of yourself.
Yeah, oh, I'd make that puzzle every day.
Oh, I would have trouble solving it. I would be like, I know I'm better looking than this. This piece cannot possibly go there.
And your sibling would just shatter your face right in front of you. Or shatter your face. Oh, you don't have a nose. That's too bad.
I think for Christmas, you're getting a puzzle from me.
Missing a nose.
I'm going to Photoshop it, though. I'm going to Photoshop extra pieces in and then not show you what the puzzle looks like. Finished. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Yeah. So, where were we?
Large format.
Large format. Yeah, so I'm sure he does it himself. Chris Marquardt does it. A lot of them, those himself. He takes all kinds of sizes. He's got medium format. He's got large format. And I've seen some of the results, and they are fantastic.
So because you have one of these cameras, does that mean you know a lot about photography if you've got one of these?
Generally.
Yeah.
You have to know because they are expensive to shoot. Because they're such large negatives.
And you probably need the dark room, so that already implies you have some idea about what you're doing.
Yeah, it depends if you're getting prints made, because you don't need a dark room. I actually bought a change bag today.
I don't know what that is.
Like a light, tight bag that you put your arms in and you can load film into like a film can, like to a developing tank.
Oh, okay.
Because I have a developing tank and never had a film, a change bag.
Okay.
And so I want to. I actually enjoy doing my own film, and want to do some a lot more black and white. And so, there you go. That's what I bought today. So we'll do that one day. Next time I'm back, we'll go shoot and develop our own film.
That sounds exciting. I've never done that.
You could do it right here in your window light area.
I think when I was in camp in about grade 5, we did a photography project where we developed our own film in a dark room, and I thought that was pretty cool. But
right.
I have a very vague memory at best.
Similar memory when I was in camp in 5th grade, I did a project where I wet the bed. Yeah, it was bunk bed. I was on top.
I remember making bracelets out of that plasticky weave stuff, too.
Your camp doesn't sound that fun.
And archery.
Right.
Doing a lip sync to Ghostbusters.
This sounds like the greatest camp ever.
Yeah.
Was Meatballs based on your camp?
Yeah. All right. A little tangent there, yeah.
Yes. Summer camp, so.
So that, I guess that's what you've been doing.
That's what I've been doing, yeah. Went to the other beach. Went to Wreck Beach yesterday as well.
Ooh, that's the notorious Vancouver beach.
If you've not been to Wreck Beach, I recommend it.
What? Wreck Beach recommended.
Recommend, that's where the name came from.
Yeah.
No, that's not where the name came from. It is Vancouver's. It's one of those beaches that I never went to for a long time because it was always kind of had that reputation. Because it is a clothing optional beach.
Right. A lot of old dudes walking around with their junk hanging out.
Well, yeah. I was one of them.
Yeah.
No, I was not one of them. Neither old nor
naked.
I wore swimmers.
Right.
But it's kind of optional. But, I never really went because it was kind of the hippie beach and all that. Oh, hey, do you want to get that?
Yeah. That's what happens when you're in my living room. Sometimes the phone rings.
Mr. Popular.
Oh, my wife got it quickly, knowing that we're broadcasting here.
That's like a cat. So for a long time, I never went because it had that reputation. And then a couple years ago, when my wife was visiting... She wasn't my wife then. I was trying to make her my wife.
Right.
She wanted to go because, you know, she's European and all that.
Oh, yeah. They're into that.
It's kind of normal.
Right.
And so we went down there, and turns out it is the most beautiful beach, like in Vancouver. It is Vancouver's greatest beach because you have to hoof it down those stairs.
Right. And there's a lot of them.
There's a lot of stairs. It's bad enough going down. Going up is even less fun. But, you hike through the rainforest out on... Point Grey, and you get down to this amazing beach, and it's just really untouched, and no facilities, nothing like that. It's just kind of out there, and yesterday was packed.
So how many pictures did you snap while you were down there?
I left my camera behind.
That's probably a good move.
Yeah, I didn't want to be that guy walking around with my camera. I could have used the invisible camera that time. That would have been fine.
That would have been awesome.
No one would have known. If I should have asked Chris if I could borrow the prototype. But, so anyone going to Vancouver, highly recommend going to Wreck Beach. It is just fantastic.
Okay, well, the Two Hosers Tour Show continues.
Let's talk, what did you shoot this week?
I didn't shoot a whole lot of anything. The last thing I shot was the challenge photos that we included on our last podcast that we did just moments before we broadcasted live from Geary Point Park. And I think we should make mention that we did not have a chance to review those images other than on the LCD of my camera prior to broadcasting. So we apologize for the quality of those images.
You mean the fact that they're out of focus?
Yeah, yeah, that.
Yeah, no, I tried to make mine out of focus to illustrate my point.
Right. No, I'm sure you did.
The point being that I am useless at taking pictures.
With my camera.
Yeah, I blame your camera.
Yeah, I blame my camera too. My pictures would be fantastic if I had a better camera.
Oh, that's a fallacy. I don't want to promote that on this show.
Yeah, because, go get a better camera.
Yeah, your problem is that you don't have the 1D Mark IV.
Yeah.
Yeah, for 5K.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Yeah, otherwise I'm great.
At that point, hey, every frame of Rembrandt.
Doesn't that camera just take the pictures for you?
The 1D Mark V will.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the new technology coming out.
Yeah, you just basically hold it in your hand and it makes you Picasso.
Oh, you stay home. It just heads out in the car. And it knows where you're going. Tell it where to go. Geary Point, magic hour. I'm going to take 5 on the couch. Yeah, that's how it goes. No, your camera is great. I still blame you somehow.
Okay.
Because normally I take pictures in focus.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what we ended up doing is we had a, well, we had a photo shoot that day. I was hired to do portraits, and Adam came along to help me out.
To see how it was done, so to speak.
To see how the everything gets done.
Yeah.
And so after that, we went and recorded the podcast and quickly, in a hurry, fired off those high-speed sync pictures. And that's what happens when you do it in a hurry.
I still think that they do illustrate the point. So it, regardless of whether or not the the images are razor sharp, I think it, the point is well illustrated. So if you haven't seen those pictures, still feel free to check it out.
I think the other lesson here is because your pictures... Besides the fact that I'm in them, your pictures are far better.
Oh, no question.
Absolutely. You look at mine, the ones I took of you are awful. And that's not your fault. That's just me. And this is, really illustrates the point that you need to get comfortable with your own camera. And I wasn't comfortable. It's not like your camera is vastly different than mine, but it's enough that I wasn't comfortable with it. And those are the results that came out.
Okay.
So that was an unintentional thing. That's something I wish I'd done on purpose, you know, like if I knew what I was doing podcast-wise.
Right.
And could then do something and to teach a lesson, but that was just a happy accident.
Yes, which we're fond of.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's why those are out of focus.
So, challenge photos?
This week's challenge. What was this week's? It was your idea.
Yeah, well, I thought just because we talked about it on the last episode about my challenge taking a picture at the beach... at a little later than magic hour, I was having trouble picking up the contrast and getting a good focus on a picture of my parents, that we would use the challenge as an opportunity to take a live view picture, a picture that required live view. So we talked about exactly what that was. So if you can't remember, go back and listen to the last episode. But this week's challenge was take a picture using live view to help focus.
Right. So first things first, what does that entail?
Well, am I repeating how you do it?
Sure.
Sure. So
let's do a quick one, like, because we talked about a couple different ways to focus.
So live view was, we all have this on our digital SLRs. So I hit the live view, which pops the image up on the LCD view. So rather than looking through the viewfinder, you're looking at the LCD screen, and then you can use digital zoom to get a closer look, and then you use manual focus to get your focus on your subject's face or eyes or wherever you're trying to get the focus. And then when you click the shutter, you're still going to take the same picture the way you had originally framed it, but just allows you to get in tight enough that you can grab focus where you want it.
Now, were you able to, when you flipped it up and have it on live view?
Yeah.
Did you look through the eyepiece?
No, it won't let me. It allows you one or the other.
There you go.
Yeah.
So what happens is normally with an SLR, single lens reflex camera, that means it's got a the mirror
right
in the way. And the mirror sits in the way of your sensor.
Right.
And so that you can look, so it bounces it up like a periscope, if that helps you.
Yes, it does.
And so you can look through the lens. Now, in order to get live view, you need an image on the sensor.
Right.
So the camera flips the mirror up. You can no longer look through. We can look through, but all you see is black.
Right.
So that's no good. So that's why, yes. And so now once you have it on the LCD screen, you're going to then better autofocus.
No, I'm going to use the manual focus.
That was a leading question, Your Honor.
and so that's exactly what I did in the challenge photo. So I used live view to take a picture last night of my wife Lisa. Basically, you know, I didn't get super creative this week, but I got her to sit out, and again, this is probably about. 7:45 last night, so it's getting pretty dark, and so she's sitting on the curb reading her book, and I'm standing maybe 50 feet away and got my camera on a tripod, and I'm using live view to then grab focus on her face.
And before you go on to your picture,
yeah,
one thing I want to mention about manual focus is the lenses that we use, there's pretty much two different kinds in terms of full-time manual focus or switch manual focus.
What does that mean?
Well, like your lens, the 50mm 1.8,
yeah,
it has a switch on it,
yes,
for manual or auto.
Right.
Now, if you want to use manual focus, you have to turn it to manual. You have to flip the switch.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it won't go, and you'll actually crank it and break your lens.
Okay.
Okay. The more expensive lenses, like your L lenses, not even your L lenses, but something you spend a little more money on, will basically have full-time manual focus. So you can leave autofocus on, But even in the middle of that, you can still grab the focus ring and focus.
Oh, okay.
Without worrying about damaging your camera.
Okay, I did not know that.
So if your camera is or lens is one of the other ones, make sure to switch it off or you will damage it.
Okay.
Let's back to your wife.
So that's basically what I did. So
why did you need?
Because it was too dark.
Okay.
It was too dark when I took that picture. So when I'm trying to line that up, and again, like you say, I slightly cropped that picture so you could get a better look. But when I tried to do it in autofocus, and again, this was the intention, I waited till it was dark enough where I could not grab a sharp focus using autofocus at that distance. So even on the tripod, I couldn't get sharp enough focus because her hair, the background, the colors are too close together. It's too dark. So when I zoom it in with live view and use the digital zoom, I'm able to, again, create enough contrast there and manual focus it so that I can get a much sharper image.
Nice. Now, does she always read outside in the dark?
No. See, that's why this picture is a little bit unusual. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. At the same time, we're trying to take a picture she might be able to use on her blog. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyway. So, enough said.
Nice. Now, when you took... Well, I'll mention it when I talk about mine.
Okay.
Okay, so mine I took is is some old telephone equipment that my dad has around the house.
Yeah.
Because turns out he used to be a telephone man.
Yes.
Or telephone person.
You know Alexander Graham Bell?
He used to always tell me the joke. Do you know who Alexander Graham Kowalski is? The world's first telephone pole.
Oh.
Wah, 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 wah. Now, that's not offensive, right?
No, not okay. Really, yeah.
Just checking.
Yeah. Maybe it is. I don't know.
If it is, I'll be surprised. Because pole, like the
telephone. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I got it.
Yeah, so no, he doesn't know Alexander Graham Bell. But anyway, so yeah, he had the old switchboard that he probably installed on his first day back when he used to work at the phone company.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's sitting there, and I wanted to take a snap a picture of that and leave part of the old phone in there as well, just for context, just so you'd be able to identify what
right. Yeah.
the image was.
Yeah.
And so I got out the 70-200 lens and put it on a tripod. And it was very dark. There's only like very little bit of available light coming in the window. And it's moonlight. That's actually moonlight lighting up the image.
Do you get extra points for that?
I don't know if we talked about that, but yes. Yes, I do.
Okay.
And so I put it on my little GorillaPod. And the exposure time was, I believe it was ISO 100, F4, and about 10 seconds. Timed exposure. So it was really dark, and so there's no way I could have got focus. And if you look, the focus is right on the switches down there.
Yeah.
And so there's no way I would have been able to get accurate focus with just the regular autofocus.
Right.
So I popped on the live view and focused on the switch, fired away. Now, the trick here is because it's on the GorillaPod and it was a long lens, this has nothing to do with the challenge, but this is what I did to take the picture. I knew if I snapped the picture on a 10-second exposure, even on the GorillaPod, it's going to shake.
Right.
Because at 200 millimeters.
Yeah.
So I set the timer to 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Hit the timer, backed away. In that 10 seconds, the camera steadied itself.
Right, yeah.
And then it took a 10-second exposure. So it took me 20 seconds to take that.
Okay.
So one of the tips that if you have a more expensive camera, I'm not sure where the cutoff is. I don't think your camera has it, but the more expensive cameras seem to have a joystick on the back.
Okay.
I found this out entirely by accident while we were shooting the invisible camera, in fact, because I shoot video with mine, and that's how you shoot video with the live view, is it you'll see when you go to live view, you have a little box in the center. Once you do the digital zoom in, it zooms into that box.
Yeah.
With the joystick, you can actually move the box around the screen. So rather than what you probably did was focus and then recompose.
Actually, I could shift it around. I could shift it around in live view. There was like a 3x3 grid, but I had to do it with the little arrows left and right.
There you go. See, I thought they might have done that, but I have no experience with your camera.
Yeah.
So that was something I stumbled across. that you can move around the area that you wish to focus on rather than recomposing the whole thing.
Yeah, I didn't have to recompose. Yeah.
Awesome. So I highly recommend doing that if you're going to use Live View. It's great to use a tripod. I don't use Live View handheld, unless I'm shooting video. But for pictures, I use Live View almost never. But when I do, it's a situation just like this. So.
Okay.
So any questions about the photo?
No, but I have to say when I first looked at it, I thought, hey, where's the rest of the picture?
Yeah, I did that on purpose.
Yeah, well, it worked.
Yeah, congratulations. All right.
So we're going to talk about this episode. We're going to talk about the pro photo shoot that I came along for, the ride along.
This episode, that's what we'll talk about. This week's topic is anatomy of a photo shoot.
Okay.
So I was hired a while back by somebody in Vancouver who knew I found out I was coming to Vancouver. So they got in touch and they wanted to do maternity pictures. Is that what you call it?
I think so.
She's pregnant, so yeah. You fill in the blanks.
She wants pictures before the baby comes. Coming soon.
What was it, like about a month, I think? Three weeks?
Yeah, a couple of weeks out.
Yeah. So she wanted some of those portraits done. And she wanted some casual stuff. She didn't necessarily want all your typical stuff. She just kind of wanted some pictures that document her being pregnant.
Yeah.
And so Adam was nice enough to come along and give me a hand where I needed it and carry a little bit of equipment. But the rest, you take it away. What were your thoughts on the photo shoot?
My thoughts were, I just, having never, been professionally photographed in my home in such a scenario, I just wanted to sort of see how things went. And, just to fill the listeners in, sort of had two stages to the shoot, I guess. So we went to their apartment and you took some pictures in their apartment, so it's sort of in their space. And then we went to a nearby park and took some pictures at the park. So I kind of wanted to see, well, how are you going to set up in their apartment? And their apartment was quite small.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some dark walls, darkly colored walls. And so I guess you decided to pose them in a few different places in their apartment and try to create some neat lighting effects. And you had done some off-camera flash. So I'd never really sort of seen how the whole off-camera flash thing went together. And I guess my questions were, you had taken some pictures with the sort of shoot-through umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had some where you had a black umbrella and you were shooting the flash into the black umbrella kind of as bounce flash.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest kind of query that I had, is why one and not the other? Why sometimes you what was your decision making process in terms of why you were doing one and not the other? It didn't seem like you ever did both at the same time.
I do have before. I just toss a coin.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that makes sense.
And then put it on auto.
This looks good. Say, hey, they'll think this is impressive. If I have umbrellas, it's like they'll think this. I'm really good if I
they'll
use
know.
Umbrellas.
They'll yeah. think I know what I'm doing. Yeah. Well, first off, I wanted to mention that even though their apartment was really tight.
Yeah.
It was really tight. And then but for me, whenever I take these kinds of portraits, I really like to take them in their own environment.
Right.
It's important to me. It's nice to have a studio and have people come in and pose in front of the white wall and all that stuff, or your whatever backdrop you put out. But for me, I like it, the personal touch of like, this is us in our own place.
Yeah.
This means something to us.
Yeah.
And even though you can't do every shot like that, you end up having to, you face a lot of challenges. Like with their place was really tight. So automatically the first thing I did was I look for depth. Now, what does that mean? Well, the only place we could get any distance was down the hallway.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the nicest hallway I'd ever seen. It was fine. Nothing wrong with it. But it wasn't that deep and wasn't that wide, so we had to make do.
Right.
And once that happened, and then I wanted to get some close-up shots of her belly, which that's what we call it, right?
Yeah. Stomach.
Stomach. Well, I don't think the baby's in the stomach. I'm not a doctor. I know you are, but... Yeah.
I think you're allowed to call it the belly up until she gives birth. Mm-hmm. And after that, it's no longer a belly.
My wife called it her belly.
Does she still call
no.
it a belly? Exactly.
No, she
That's
does not.
That's what I'm saying.
No,
it stops being a belly the second that baby comes out.
Yes. Yes. And then it is a...
stomach.
Let's move on. So anyways...
Never a paunch.
That's what I was hoping you were going to not say.
Or pouch.
What's my excuse? I just said for listeners at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's because Adam looked me in the eye. He's been looking away like a good podcaster the whole time. And now it's just... Ugh, the sunglasses are driving me crazy. In the house, really?
Yeah.
And then we move into the close-ups, and that's a lot of what we do in the apartment because it was so tight, was get the close-ups. So now, getting to the umbrellas, you'll notice I do use reflective umbrellas sometimes, which also double as shoot-through. Okay. I have the ones that you can take off.
Okay.
Which sound good on paper until you have to start taking them off on location. I don't know if you've ever experienced that with
no.
I have a bounce board, one of those light discs that yeah. are the same thing. And I thought, oh, great. You know, I'm going to get one of these 5-in-1s.
Yeah.
So inside the light disc, you can it's a diffuser.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And then it's got a black side and a gold side. And you reverse that piece that zips off. And it's got a silver side and a white side.
Yeah.
So you're covered.
Yeah.
Except you're only covered for two things at once.
Right.
And that turns into a giant pain.
Yeah.
And that can happen with the umbrellas, too. That's why I have two of them. And so I oftentimes on a shoot, I'll have one prepped for shoot-through and one for reflective so I can work very quickly.
Right.
Ultimately, depends on what you're shooting, you can get very similar results from both. One of the things that I find when you're in a real tight location and you're inside and you don't worry too much about losing light, because a shoot-through umbrella will eat a lot of your flash. Whereas you get a lot more power out of it if you bounce it into the umbrella. Now, the downside there is that you have to then keep your umbrella a fair distance from your subject.
Right.
Because the flash gets in the way.
Yep.
Whereas you can get the white umbrella right, like just millimeters out of frame and right next to your subject. So that's generally, if I'm inside, I usually shoot with a shoot through. If I'm outside and I'm battling the sun, I know I'm going to need as much power as I possibly can muster. And so therefore, I use the reflective.
Now, let's say you're in a situation where you don't really need an umbrella. Do you use umbrella anyways just to look awesome?
Because
I would. I absolutely would.
I'll let you, even just a regular umbrella.
Because when they go home and, you know, talk to their mom about their photo session and they say, yeah, he even had an umbrella. There's an umbrella yeah. like 3 inches from my face. This guy really was awesome. And if he goes home and says, well, what happened? Oh, he just had a camera and he was just taking pictures. Well, that doesn't sound that exciting.
That's hard to get over. I know you're joking, but you're kind of not.
I know.
Because there is that sort of perception that if you show up, like if I could show up on a photo shoot with a reflector and let's say a little Leica M3 camera that was built in 1954.
Yeah.
And I would love to do that.
Yeah.
That's my dream camera. I really, again, any listeners out there want to send me their old used M3, I would love to play with it.
Yeah.
I will not sell it, I promise you. It's about a $1,000 camera, and it's got no meter in it, but it will produce the most gorgeous images, and would better than my digital SLR would.
Yeah.
But it's tiny.
Yeah,
it looks like a point-and-shoot camera. And so if you show up on that, people are going to kind of question, well, what are we paying this guy for?
Yeah.
So I've always kind of had that fantasy of showing up on one of my higher-paid gigs. I don't want to sound like I'm Annie Leibovitz or something like that. I'm not. Not even David LaChapelle, so not even close.
Yeah.
But I want to show up on one of my higher-paid corporate gigs and just whip out my iPod. Say, okay, you guys ready? And just to see the look on their face like, all right, that's what you're doing?
Yeah.
So the answer is I would use. No, I always use an umbrella in controlled situations.
Because you find it makes your pictures better.
It makes your pictures far better.
Okay.
Because when you're using flash, bigger is better.
Okay.
Bigger is softer, and... You know, it's just, you can get the flash off the camera. Now you can start adding some depth to your lighting. And it's definitely the way to go.
Okay.
There's times where you can't use it. And that happened at my shoot. I think we talked on the last show where I would have loved to have a off-camera flash. But it just wasn't practical. Couldn't right. happen. So, any other questions about the photo shoot?
I guess in terms of negotiation. So when you're going to, you know, go out on a photo shoot, do you have any tips as far as negotiation in terms of price beforehand? You lay it all out in the email. This is what I expect. This is how long it's going to be. Or do you kind of leave that up in the air and sort of deal with it when you sort of realize what you're in for?
Mm-hmm. I used to leave it up in the air because I'm perfectly honest, I am terrible at the business end of things. The business end of photography is very difficult. And that's the part that you need to be good at in order to be successful. Because if you look out there, there's a lot of really good photographers who aren't making any money. And it's because they're not good at business. And oftentimes it comes down to, this is a loaded question, man. Oftentimes it comes down to putting a value on your own product. Because, well, I imagine you going to, well, it'd be difficult because you wouldn't do physio on yourself. But going to another physiotherapist.
Yeah.
And you think, well, why would I pay a guy $100 an hour when I can do that?
Yeah.
And that's what I think about photography is, why would anybody pay? I wouldn't pay somebody $100 or $150 an hour or whatever they charge because I can do it myself.
Right.
Then you kind of have to realize that people can't do it themselves. Yeah. Even if you're not using the fancy umbrellas to show off, even if you're just showing up taking good pictures, they're probably not going to do it. You're beyond that.
Yeah.
So once you get past that, and then you can basically establish a price and say, okay, you're going to get this. You're going to get an hour or an hour and a half shoot. Generally, I tell people it's X amount of dollars for a 1 hour photo shoot. Now, it's likely going to take 90 minutes. It's likely going to go over. And if that's the point, and if I tell them, hey, if it just goes over, it goes over, I don't sweat it. So I kind of budget for that 90 minutes.
Right.
But if it goes less...
You still get paid as...
I still get paid.
As if it was the same. I see, yeah.
Right.
Makes sense.
So I find it better to... this is my best business tip, is to under-promise and over-deliver.
Okay.
I still promise as high as I can, but I'd always try to exceed expectations. And so that someone wants to hire me back.
Go above and beyond.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. Because ultimately you want them to tell their friends, hey, you got to hire this guy. Like, this is the guy. Don't even think about anybody else. This is the guy you want.
Okay.
And that's how that goes.
Well, if that's the case, then you vastly underproduced in the shoot that I saw. No, I'm just giving you a hard
time. Wow.
It was definitely a good performance. I don't know if that's the same performance you would have given had I not been there scrutinizing your every move. But no, I think you did a very good job and definitely exceeded expectations from what I could see.
I think, I don't know if it was you being there or not, but it was one of my better photo shoots.
Yeah, well, I was kind of like the setup man. I was just warming them up while you were moving around. I was like, it was like a stand-up comedy routine.
That's a good point, actually, because there are times, and you would stand in even, too,
yeah,
lighting.
Yeah, and when someone's pregnant and the sun is hot, I would stand directly in the sun as a placeholder.
Yeah, and that's really handy, because I kind of always feel conscious of the people's downtime, and there isn't much of it. Like, I try to keep things moving really quick and get as many setups as I can in that 90 minutes. But it's nice to basically have them somewhat distracted while I am setting up a light.
And I guess the other question I had is, so you spent whatever it was, 90 minutes or so doing the photo shoot. Then how much time did you spend after the fact with in order to get the pictures all edited and sent back to them?
We ended up spending a little over 2 hours shooting
on
this one because we had a location change. But I ended up, because I try very, very hard to get it right in the camera. And so consequently, my post-production time is almost nothing. So it comes down to culling the pictures and making my selects.
Yeah.
Basically applying a little bit of post-processing in terms of the raw manipulation, which I do to one and then copy and paste to that section, the four pictures under the tree.
Because they're all the same lighting, yeah.
Right. So I basically do that and then save them out. And so there's a couple that I need to do a little photoshopping on in terms of background, like a car I didn't like.
Yeah.
And that. So that still has to be done. But generally, I think I've spent 45 minutes so far.
Well, that's not bad. And did you already send that to them?
No, they'll get them later.
Oh, okay.
Once the Photoshop's done on those other ones. I still have the Photoshopping to do on those couple. And so once that's done, I try very, very hard to make the images look proper when I'm shooting them.
To save time later.
Yep.
And did you say that, maybe this is an appropriate time for it, but did you say that there was an email from that couple that you did the shoot for?
I got some feedback, which was positive.
Okay, well, let's throw it in now.
It was positive. Well, they haven't even seen the pictures yet, but the husband was a little hesitant to get his picture taken. This was not his favorite thing. I think he was trying to schedule something to be away that day. But his wife lovingly talked him into it and said, listen, we need this. Yeah. And so this was their first child. And so he I understand, begrudgingly agreed. And so I knew right away, because she had mentioned that before we started, so I needed to really keep him at ease. I didn't want to make him do any kind of crazy stuff, and I wanted to make it quick and painless for him.
Right.
Which...
You succeeded in 2 hours.
Right, yeah, that's right. Okay, painless. Wasn't quick. Ultimately, you know, if he's not paying the bill, at least he's paying part of the bill or part of it. Yeah. So I want him to get full value as well.
Yeah, and my favorite part was every time you kept saying we're almost done, and I kept telling them that's what he says on these podcasts.
I never made the connection. I was wondering what you're saying.
Yeah,
that means we're almost. That means yeah. we're almost done.
Yeah, we're good for another half hour. Yeah.
But then something else would pop up, and I would see another shot and think, oh, well, while we're here, absolutely. I want to grab that shot.
Yeah, and all he was thinking was, when can I get out of here? And all she was thinking is, I probably have to really pee.
Right.
That's what happens when you're pregnant, apparently. You have to pee a lot.
Right.
It's just an anatomy lesson. That's all that is.
Right. I'll Google that while we're waiting. So ultimately, I got a feedback that he had a great time.
Wow. And did she send that or did he send that?
She sent that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I trust her. And ultimately, can't wait till I come back. Because when next time I'm back, we're going to take baby pictures. And so,
right.
And so she's already booked me for that shoot, and he actually said he's excited and wants to be part of that.
Wow.
So, you even noted that like, you know, he at first had a little trouble warming up. Not trouble warming up, but you could tell he was hesitant.
Yeah, and he was fine. By the back half of that shoot, he was fine.
I think we broke him down with the time.
Yeah.
No, but part of it, that was part of it, maybe you being there, I kind of felt the need to sort of ramp up my confidence level.
Yeah.
Oftentimes I'll internally question myself and question my own judgment, or not judgment, my instincts on some shots and think, oh man, am I getting the lighting? And I'll spend too much time over lighting a shot when ultimately, and then I miss the moment. And so I decided, I don't know if I decided or I just ran with it, and I was going to be confident and, you know, I'm going to get this. And I knew where to go each next step.
Yeah.
And even if I was wrong, I ran with it.
Yeah. I recall you saying on several occasions, that looks great. with a lot of comments. And again, I was just thinking, wow, this guy's kind of full of himself.
I meant their reaction.
Oh, sure.
Their facial expressions, they were looking very comfortable.
Oh, okay. Sorry, that's what you meant.
And but there was one time, I don't know if you remember, when I went and got the lighting set up and took the picture, and as soon as I snapped it, I just said, this looks terrible.
Oh, I don't recall that. I remember you saying, this is the one, that's the one.
Yeah.
When there's one in their apartment, you just said, that's the picture.
Yes. Was the picture, actually.
Yeah, so there you go.
I liked it. That was the one where I did the gradient background. And,
yeah.
Yeah, I did like that one. But the last thing I learned, I think that's enough takeaways on the shoot.
Yeah.
But the one thing I did, I never really thought about before, because people talk about, in Germany, they call it their chocolate side. Their good side.
Okay.
So everyone a lot of people think they have it. Generally, do you know what it is? I can never guess yours. I'll give you a hint.
Just for the side where you're comfortable? Is that
your
name?
Which is your good side that you'd like to get photographed on?
I don't know.
I'll give you a hint. You don't have one.
Oh, that's great.
So or you have two.
You're saying that I'm hideous.
No, you probably have two.
I to be honest, I never really think about it.
I'll give you a hint.
Is it because I have no hair?
It's the part. Oftentimes, I don't know if it's every time, But if people part their hair from, like, say, in my case, from my left to my right, people generally want to be photographed, or you want to photograph them on that side. So, like, you're looking at that.
Hmm.
That's a better side than that. I don't know if it's across the board, but that's a good starting point. And see, Adam has his hair very, very short. And so, therefore, you have two good sides.
Hard to pick out, yeah.
You got chocolate on one side, peanut butter on the other. So.
Yeah, but Jack's allergic to peanut butter, so... Mm.
So, but what I did come across was during the shoot was one point I had them posed, and then I didn't like the way the light was coming in. I wanted them to switch places, and as soon as they switched places and he was on her right, automatically looked like 100 times more comfortable. Like, they looked way better together just because they had switched sides, and I'd never really considered that before. So that's a little takeaway when you're posing people. See what they do before you set your light up.
Right.
Ask them to stand together and see what happens.
I think that's a great tip.
So that's the anatomy of a photo shoot.
All right.
How many pictures do you think I shot?
I'd say 70, 60, something
more
like
that.
More than that?
Yeah. I think they're going to get 50.
Oh, that many.
Yeah. Well, some of them are slightly, not 50 different setups. I'm going to pick.
There's like, probably what? Like six or seven setups?
Eight. I think it was eight ultimately.
Oh, okay.
Ultimately eight setups.
And 10 pictures a setup or more than that?
No, I think I ended up shooting 150 pictures.
Oh wow, I didn't realize It was that many.
Yeah. But some of those were when I was battling the sun. And when you're battling the sun, that can be difficult because you're dealing with shadows that you can't control. At one point you were blocking shadows.
Right. I was. You were being shadow blocker.
Yep, you were being a curtain. A flag, sorry. We call it a flag.
Yeah.
So you're flagging off the sun, off of his head, and so that's the takeaway. That's the anatomy of a photo shoot. So next week's challenge. What do we got for next week?
Do you have a challenge?
Oh, I wasn't paying attention.
I came up with that live view one, so it's your turn.
Oh. I had one earlier.
I don't remember what it was. Did you tell it to me?
No.
Okay, well. Let's just pause for a commercial announcement.
And we're back. Did we ever go away?
No, we're still here. We're just trying to think of a challenge.
Yeah, I wrote it down on my hand. I just couldn't remember which hand.
Yeah.
That's why it took a while. Okay, this week's challenge, because it's anatomy of a photo shoot.
And because we're going to take it while we're in my house.
Okay, let's not
give anything away.
Let's not let people look behind the curtain and give away the magic.
Sorry.
We're going to shoot a self-portrait. I want you to shoot a self-portrait, Adam.
Okay.
Because we talked about shooting portraits, and why not? Now you're going to be, in tough because you don't know which side is your chocolate side.
Yeah, I'm gonna go right down the middle, right down the pipe.
I know which way I'm going. Or do you want to shoot a portrait of each other? That doesn't help our listeners, does it?
No,
they can't all get together and shoot a portrait of each
other.
No,
let's do the self portrait.
Self portrait.
Okay.
Okay. I like those because they're of me.
Okay. So how about we wrap this thing up?
Let's shut her down, Earl.
Where do we find your stuff?
Well, as always, I am at alanattridge.com. You can find Adam and I at twohosers.com, twohosers on Twitter. We are on the Flickr with the what have you and the what, you can find it. Go to twohosers. You can find us on twohosers. And check for us in iTunes. Subscribe in iTunes. We had some feedback from somebody we know who's a very accomplished business person. What do you call lawyers? Professional.
Sure.
He's a professional. Did not know that he could how to download a podcast.
Really?
You were there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You were there. It was at poker and where.
Yeah.
Who won, me or you? I forget.
I did.
That's right. I lost my shirt. So, anyways, so subscribe in iTunes or subscribe for a friend in iTunes because it really helps our numbers.
Yeah.
It does. True story. Get us up there in the rankings. So, Adam, where can people find your stuff?
As always, shortschronicles.com.
Until next week, get out there and, make better photos.